In the beginning of April, we implemented Growth Track. And what we do is we take 4 weeks to impact people on their journey of faith. And we speak into what is their next step. And since we've implemented Growth Track, we've had to implement more baptismal services. We've seen over 71 people at Edge Church taking their next steps and being baptized. 44 year at Edgemead and 27 at Malpas. Come on, let's give some praise on that. You see, Growth Track is really the next step on your journey. What I've discovered and what I began to understand, that many people become Christians. They give their life to Jesus, and then unintentionally, they kind of get settled, and they think this is the Christian life, attending church. They find a comfortable seat, and they really, and we've got good, comfortable seats here. We've got some good music, right, Matthew? We've got great singers and great worship, and you think, well, now I've settled here. But actually, God has a plan for your growth. He has much more desire for you to grow than for you to get comfortable. He wants to keep moving you forward. And so when we introduce Growth Track, the week one, we talk about knowing God. What it is to know God personally and how much God loves you and how much God wants to be your very special best friend. We teach it to our little children. But we teach it to the adults and to the teenagers just in a more hyped up way. What we want them to know, no matter what happens in life, God loves them and accepts them. And they can enter in a personal relationship. That's week one. Then the next week, we talk about how do we connect with others. You see, we all bring issues of our heart. We take it through with us in life. We carry things, hurts that have happened to us. Some of those hurts become our hang-ups. Some of those hang-ups become our habits. And we find that the Bible is clear that you were never meant to go through life on your own. You were meant to always do church with others. And James chapter 5 verse 16 says, find healing by confessing to one another and God will heal you. So we see people come into freedom. We help them find life groups. We find that it's a new place for them. How to belong to a church rather than attend a church. Belonging is as critical as you ever need to know that you belong somewhere. The third week is a very exciting week on Growth Track, where we talk about discovering your purpose and God's plan for your life. I loved what Roxy shared. Roxy, can I have some water here, please? Roxy, that's going to stick for a while. You see, Jeremiah 29 speaks to Roxy's life. Verse 11, it says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for your good, not your disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And in week three, we discover our gifts. We discover what our purpose is. And then in week four, we find ways, places that you can use your gift to help others, because you will find fulfillment when you are giving. The Bible says how better it is to give than to receive. Yeah. And so I encourage you to join Growth Track. 7 o'clock on a Tuesday night. It's not an age restriction one. It's open to all. We love it. Young people, you know, don't say, now, Mom, I can't study for that most important exam. I've got to go to Growth Track. No, no. Find a way of getting there. Yeah. It's critically important. It's open to all. But tonight, I just want to delve a little bit into Jesus' baptism and what subsequently followed. We spoke about baptism. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 3. Open up your iPhone or whatever you've got. Have a look at Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must all carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to be baptized. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." I love what the New Century Version says. "This is my Son, whom I love and I'm well pleased with." You see, what the Father was doing was giving him his approval and affirmation. Now, deep down inside, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, we all long to know that we're loved. We all long to know that we approved by someone who we look up to. I once sat in a room chatting to a man, a very highly successful businessman, a man that had achieved much in his life, a man that was very prominent in the community. And as we got chatting, he started opening up and started opening up. And at one point, I noticed he became quite teary. And then I noticed the tears started flowing. He said, "I've got enough money. I've got enough success. But there's something I don't have. I've never, ever heard my father say to me, 'I'm proud of you.'" And he began to sob uncontrollably. He says, "I want to hear those words, 'I'm proud of you.'" You see, what Jesus was hearing was that you are chosen, my son. You are special. You bring me joy. I'm pleased with you. And that's what we really long for. What he was hearing from heaven, the Father speaking to him, was, "I'm committed and devoted to you. I am committed and totally devoted to you." I want you to hear this tonight. No matter what life throws at you, no matter what issues you will face, God wants you to know you can face the challenges, you can face the heartache, you can face the problems of this world, knowing this one thing: God is committed to me. And you can give a praise offering now. You need to keep hearing that voice. There are many other voices that you hear, or voices that are not God's voice. The voices of Satan: "You're not good enough." The voices that tell you you're a failure. The voices that tell you you look fat, you're ugly, you're not like other kids. You're rejected by those who are supposed to love you. God's voice comes clearly and says to you, "You are the one I love." You see, we are often guided in life by the voices we listen to. We listen to our friends. We listen to people that are important. I want you to hear this tonight. You sitting in the seat, Jeff, Fred, Peter, wherever you are, Mary's as well, Roxy's as well. You are my beloved. I will love you, and I'm committed to you, no matter how much you fail, how much you let me down, how much you seem to think you unworthy of love. I love you. That's the voice that came from heaven that God wanted you to know. And with that, you can face life and its challenges. You can face the heartaches of life. Now, the very next thing that Jesus had to face, straight after hearing how special he was he had to go into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I want to take a few moments to tell you that you will always find that life will tempt you. There'll always be temptations. You may be strong right here, and you'll find you'll get tempted. Imagine Jesus having that experience, a high moment in his life, and the very next thing is led into the wilderness to be tempted. I want to read that text to you. It's a long one, so hang in there with me. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. It's coming up on the screens. "Then Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan River." He was full of God. was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. God led him. God allowed him to be tested. Where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days, Jesus ate nothing all that time, and he became very thin, but also very hungry. Then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become a loaf of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone." Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world. In a moment of time, he showed him that, "And I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and the authority over them." And the devil said, "Because you are mine, they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me." And Jesus replied, "The scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off. And the scripture says, he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." And Jesus responded, "The scripture also says, you must not test the Lord your God." When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportune moment. I want you to notice a few things from this passage. Number one, God allowed him to be tempted. Please hear me. You can't live in a world where you won't face temptations. You can't live in a sheltered environment where you won't face temptations. Because the temptations begin in your heart. It begins in your mind. It begins in that which you are broken in, where the devil comes and plays havoc with what you think you're not. Voices begin to tell you you're not worthy of God's love. You will always face temptation. Get clear on this one. Secondly, you need to understand to be tempted doesn't mean you are more sinful than anybody else. In fact, maybe you are cooking hot spiritually. So the devil wants to distract you. Thirdly, I want you to realize that you will face temptations all your life. Oh, when I get to that place where I'm so spiritual, I won't get tempted. No ways. Satan won't let up because his one desire is to separate you from God's love. His one desire, if he wins this battle, that you're not loved, you're not special, he has won the battle. Because when you don't feel loved, when you don't feel you're special, when you feel that God really doesn't care about you, why bother? So the one goal of Satan is to separate you from God's love. I want to take a moment and just highlight some of the issues that Jesus was faced in his trials and temptation. But I want you to understand what temptation is. In the Bible, the word temptation and trials are used interchangeably. It's like one root word. When you go through trials, you will face temptation to quit. You will face temptation to give up. You will face distractions and discouragement. That becomes the test. Will you trust me when you don't understand what's happening? Then it also speaks about trials being a time of testing. It's not a pass or fail. Does God love you? Doesn't God love you? We talk about purifying of metals. Metals be put under strain to see whether it can withstand the pressure. Listen to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3. Fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but the Lord tests the heart. So you have a precious metal, and that girl that is eyeing you Oh, excuse me, the boy that's eyeing you says, I bought you a wonderful gift. It cost me a fortune. And it's a blingy piece of jewelry. And so you say, I wonder what it's really worth. And he says, oh, it cost me a lot of money, lovey. And then you take your knife and you scratch and you find it's just cheapy, cheap, cheap, cheap. Or it starts fading. Or it starts getting dull. You really want to test it? Now, you can do this. You start a fire. Don't do this at all. No, I won't tell you what to do. You put it in some acid and see what happens to it. And you'll find out that was just plated gold. It's not the real thing. That's what it means to be fire tested. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It has been tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus is revealed to the whole earth. You will face trials. And the temptation in the trial is to quit, to give up. God doesn't love me. God doesn't care. You will face testing where you realize, man, God, I don't understand. You quiet, you silent, you left me. I come to church, I don't get any feeling out of anything anymore. Is there something wrong with me? That's the test of will you trust me when you don't feel me? Yeah. Now, Daniel preached into that. Let's look at Jesus' testing. In Luke chapter 4, verses 3 to 4, it's the story of turn this loaf of bread, this stone into a loaf of bread. Chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It's on the screen. You can read it. I won't read it out loud. If you're the Son of God, do this. What's the first test that Jesus faced? It was his identity. Now, notice when God speaks from heaven, he says, you are my beloved son. Do you know what Satan says? Not beloved. He says, if you're the Son of God. Your first thing the devil will test is your identity. Does God really love you? Are you a child of God? How many can be honest that you've doubted whether you're a real Christian? Just wave your hand. None of you. You're all saints here. Well, I'm raising my hand. Are there moments when we fail? We let God down. Satan comes and puts doubt in your mind. Are you a real Christian? The other natural part is when he challenges him about food, about turning the stone into bread. And that speaks about, can God be trusted to provide for me? Can God meet my every need? I've got to go to varsity. I've got to find a future. I've got to find a wife. Let's start off with that one. And God, can you provide? Can I trust you? Or must I make my own plans? You'll always be tempted in that area. The second big temptation, he talks to him about bowing down, and those are verses 5 to 8. It'll be on the screen. You can look at it, but I'm not going to read all of it. He says, worship me. I'll give you the kingdoms and worship me. What Satan is doing is tempting Jesus in the area of his devotion and his faithfulness to God. He's saying, will you be devoted to me? Will you compromise? Will you live a half-baked Christian life? We used to use the phrase, will you have one foot in the world and one foot in Jesus? Will you live a double life? Will you be this on a Sunday and on a Monday, who knows what you are? Will you live a double life? Well, he says, would you worship me and me only? Would you put me first in your life? Not will you be first on Sunday when my friends are here, but will you be first when I'm being tempted to compromise? It's the test of your faithfulness and devotion to God. And then the last temptations, he speaks to him, if you're the Son of God, jump off this high peak. The scripture says he'll look after you. You know what he's trying to tempt him? Take your life into your own hands and live it the way you want to. Just let God live in the periphery. You don't need God to make every decision with you. You can live like you want. You can live in your own strength. But you see, Satan was one goal and one aim. was to move him and separate him from the words that he heard at his baptism. You are my beloved son. There are times that you will face doubt. You will face temptation. You are my beloved son. Satan would want to separate you from his love. Some of you feel that. Some of you don't feel loved. Some of you think you're too bad to be loved. Some of you think there's shadows over your life and secrets. You know those secrets? Now God knows about them. And in spite of Peter denying Jesus, in spite of the prodigal messing up his life, God never gave up on them. God never gives up on you. God says, I love you. You're my child. You're my beloved. I will hang in there with you. I'm not quitting on you, so don't quit on me. I want you to bow your heads as I close tonight. Maybe you don't hear that voice any longer. You're my beloved. Maybe you think you're just not worth loving. Tonight, God says to you, I have sent my son who gave his life for you. My commitment is to you. I'm not going to give up on you when you give up on yourself. Maybe you've come tonight, you've witnessed the baptismal service. Maybe you've said in your heart, I want to follow Jesus, but I'm not good enough. Listen to my voice today, a voice that heaven opens up and says over this congregation, you are my beloved child. I love you. And he's just asking you to open your heart to him. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. And I say, would you let me in, Jesus says. You say, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. He says, no, I want to come in. I want to do some cleaning up with you. Because I gave my son, Jesus Christ, God says, to come and clean up the mess that you make. And tonight I'm going to offer an opportunity for you to say, Jesus, come into my life. Whether you've backslidden, whether you've got cold, something's happened in your heart tonight when you saw those folk get baptized and you say, I want to follow Jesus with all my heart. I don't want to be one of those half-hearted Christians. I want you to slip your hand up in there and say, Pastor, you pray for me. Raise your hands wherever you are. I can see you. Lift your hands. I can see your hands. Lift your hands wherever you are. Lift them high so I can see it. It's dark up on the stage. God bless you. God bless you at the back. Up on the front, there's some young people. God's speaking to you. Your heart is beating. And you said, I've done this before, but I'm not doing it. Tonight, God has said, will you do it again? Will you do it again? Because I never gave up on you. Slip your hand up once more. I'm asking, who wants to receive Jesus tonight? Slip that hand up. I want to pray for you. Slip that high. God bless you, young lady. God bless you, young people in the front. At the back, God bless you. I want you to pray this prayer out loud with me. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you gave your life for me. And tonight I give my life to you to follow, and I will serve you with all my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God a praise tonight. Praise for what we've seen happen here. Amen. It's been a wonderful evening. We've seen God do some amazing stuff.